This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. All praises belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and we request praises and blessings upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dearest brothers and sisters, my dearest boys and girls, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all. I thoroughly hope you enjoyed and benefited from the first installment to the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And from the outset, I would like to extend a heartfelt gratitude to Family Events for taking the blockbuster program online, given the circumstances, of course. It's always been an honor speaking to you all during different family event programs, in person, on site. But given our circumstances, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the internet and our ability to be gathered together virtually. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in Jannah as He has gathered us together virtually today. Now, after Ibrahim alayhi salam survived the fire with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt his story became not just the talk of the town, but the talk of many lands. And Namrud, this tyrant king, he definitely wanted to have an audience with Ibrahim alayhi salam and to see what he is about. And Ibrahim alayhi salam afforded him this audience. Obviously, he was the king and his request had to be adhered to. And when Ibrahim alayhi salam met him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that Namrud questioned Ibrahim alayhi salam of the Lord that Ibrahim alayhi salam was supporting when he went against the idols of the people. And Ibrahim alayhi salam explained to him who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And Namrud said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, after Ibrahim alayhi salam said to Namrud that my Allah gives life and death, so Namrud said, I also give life and I also give death. And in a feeble way, he tried to demonstrate his ability to give life and give death in the form of freeing a prisoner who is imprisoned for life, for example, and taking the life of an innocent person. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, we only know him to be, mashallah, clever, a quick thinker. He was true to his fitrah, to his natural disposition. We know what he did with his father and his people when he was trying to instigate within them the ability to think critically, right? It just shows that Ibrahim alayhi salam, from a young age, he thought critically. So he was always quick on his feet. I mean, that's the phrase we use in the English language to depict a person who immediately can act, immediately can respond, and in a fruitful way. Ibrahim alayhi salam responds to Namrud and says, okay, if this is, you know, your answer to my explanation, then my Lord, he causes the sun to rise in the east, and he causes it to set in the west. If you are who you are, then who you say you are, then cause the sun to rise in the west and set in the east. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. He was dumbfounded. There was nothing that he could say. And Ibrahim alayhi salam realized that there's no success in this land with these people. They're blind followers. They're not critical thinkers. They are upon the way of their forefathers, and you know, it's a lost cause here. And he preferred to do hijrah to his Lord. Inni muhajirun ila rabbi, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about him in the Quran. So Ibrahim alayhi salam leaves, and with him is his wife Sarah, and with him is his nephew Lut, who later on became a prophet, Lut alayhi salam, for he understood the message of Ibrahim alayhi salam and was a follower. And Ibrahim alayhi salam trekked up towards Sham. And when he got to Sham, it wasn't suitable for him either. Why? He found people not worshipping idols, but worshipping the cosmos, worshipping the stars, worshipping the moon, worshipping the sun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that with them, he tried to instigate again the concept of critical thinking by highlighting to them how the moon is bigger than the sun and how the sun is bigger than the moon. But then the sun appears and disappears. So how can you worship that which comes and goes? Rather, we should worship the one that created all these things that we see around us. So he saw, subhanallah, there was no tawheed, no worshipping of one Allah. the greatest justice on earth with my father, with my people. And now I don't see it with these people. So he trekked out of Sham and he made his way towards Egypt. And in Egypt, he found tyranny as well. Unfortunately, there was an unjust king, and a king who wasn't upon the belief in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his practices were highly questionable. So Ibrahim alayhi salam decided to migrate again. Remember, he was migrating to his Lord, and he wasn't finding a people with tawheed, a people upon the truth, a people upon their natural disposition, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. Now, when he left Egypt, through one event or another, which is beyond the scope of today's story time, Ibrahim alayhi salam, through his wife Sarah, acquired a gift that was given to her by the ruler in Egypt. And that was a girl who would be a helper to Sarah, and her name was Hajar. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, at this stage, now he's grown, and he's contemplating his different travels, and he did travel, right? And he's known as the prophet who did travel extensively. He traveled, and through his travels, he's thinking, subhanAllah, I don't think there's anyone on earth who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped. I don't think there's anyone who is doing justice to the reality of who our Lord is. And he's now thinking long term and thinking, subhanAllah, I don't know how many years I have left. Perhaps the best solution is for me to have a family, right? Not to have a family so that my son can take over my shop or take over my business, or my son can hunt for me and help me with matters of life. No, he wanted to leave after him someone who will carry the flag of Tawheed, because he literally felt, subhanAllah, there's no one with it, right? In a substantial way. Of course, he had his wife. Of course, he had Lut. But he's thinking long term now, right? And he's thinking children and then grandchildren and so on and so forth upon their fitrah, those who will take it upon themselves to spread the truth. This is what I need. And he had the sincere desire to have a child. And he had this desire for a long time, and it was a test for him, but he was patient. And the reality is, his first wife, his wife Sarah, she was barren. She couldn't have a child. And then she knew how sincere Ibrahim was in terms of wanting to have a child, and she loved her husband. So she gifted Hajar to Ibrahim so that Hajar could become a wife to Ibrahim. And through Hajar, at the age of what some of the scholars say is 90 years of age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses Hajar with a baby. Ismail alayhi salam arrives, subhanallah. Now, where are they based? They are based in Palestine, because after Egypt, he made his way to Palestine, as the books of Islamic history cite for us. So now he's in Palestine, he has his child, subhanallah, Allah blessed him with this child. And some historians say that some friction began to come about between Sarah, his first wife, and Hajar, especially since, you know, Hajar now gave birth, she bore a child, and this child was beloved to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and naturally any father would give that special care and that special touch to his child. So for one reason or the other, when Ismail, according to some historians, was around 2 years of age, just when having the baby becomes fun for all of us, right? And the parents out there will understand this, that now the baby is moving, the baby is not just sleeping, not just drinking milk, the baby is interacting, the baby is trying to imitate you, the baby is fun to be with. Allah tested Ibrahim with his young son. Remember, all this time, there was nothing in the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam besides his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tests Ibrahim alayhi salam by doing what? He commands Ibrahim alayhi salam to take his son and take the son's mother, Hajar, on a journey. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's about sami'na wa ata'na. I hear and I obey. I receive the instruction and I listen. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in my heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first. Now, brothers and sisters in Islam, and the parents out there will know this, subhanallah. You know, the children are the biggest test for the parents, right? It's the children that's the biggest test. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is being tested with Ismail. And later on, he will be tested in a bigger way. But for now, Ibrahim alayhi salam immediately answers, and he takes his wife Hajar, and he takes Ismail, and he places them on a mount, and he takes some provisions, and they make their long journey to this point that Allah has inspired him alayhi salam to go towards. Now subhanallah, we don't have in the books of history these, you know, this conversation having taken place between Ibrahim and Hajar and what's going on, etc., which subhanallah shows you the character of Hajar as a wife. Subhanallah, that she didn't question her husband, right? I mean, imagine today what will happen if a husband just walks into the home on a Sunday morning, packs his wife's bag, packs the child's bag, puts it in the vehicle, wakes up the wife, wakes up the boy, puts them in the vehicle without saying a word, and he starts driving off. What will happen? Right? So whenever I ask this question, the children always say, my mommy will say, where are we going? Where are we going? And she'll be nagging, right? So it's nothing wrong to ask. It's nothing wrong to ask, and it doesn't reduce the quality of a wife. Not at all. You are allowed to ask. But just to highlight, subhanAllah, the servitude that existed and the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that existed, that Hajar knew that this is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is instructed by Allah. And they go on this long journey, and it's not a short journey, brothers and sisters in Islam. We're talking about Palestine to Mecca. Even today, that journey is long, right? If somebody went by car, it would span several hours. I imagine you on this journey via, you know, your ride, right? Via a camel, via a donkey, subhanallah. It's a long journey. And we're talking about dusty deserts. We're not talking about set roads, right? So you're going through dunes, you're going through mountains, you're going through different terrain. And also the heat of the deserts applies to this whole circumstance and situation. But subhanallah, patiently, they make their way. And when they get to Mecca, it's the middle of nowhere. Nothing, literally, the middle of nowhere. Nothing exists besides two hilltops. And Ibrahim alayhi salam sets the provisions in some historical references. He sets a little shelter and he instructs Hajar to get off, and he places his son down and he gets on his mount and he's leaving. And subhanallah, we don't even get in the books of history again another discussion taking place between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hajar. He turns his back and he's going, but he hasn't turned his back. He knows Allah is the protector, he will protect them. And no doubt he's a human being, no doubt he remembers as a young boy when he was in the catapult and his father was conniving with the people of the city to get rid of him. No doubt, as a human being, every prophet is a human. They have human emotion, they have a heart, they have a mind. He was feeling what he was feeling, and he knew this is a hard matter. I can't make it harder by doing what? By looking at my wife. I can't make it harder upon myself by doing what? By looking at my son, right? So no doubt this is something natural, subhanallah. So it's plausible that he turns around and he makes the long journey back to Sarah, his first wife. Where? In Palestine. But Hajar, here for the first time in the books of history, we sort of hear her voice, where she asks Ibrahim alayhi salam about what's happening, and he doesn't leave an answer. She asks again, and the third time she says, did Allah instruct you to leave us here? And he gestures. This is what some of the books of Islamic history relate to us, that he gestured back. And when he gestured back, immediately she understood that, subhanallah, my husband doesn't look after us, Allah looks after us, he's under instruction, we are okay. And Hajar is peaceful. The books of Islamic history don't show us a Hajar who's complaining, a Hajar who's anxious. She's totally pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want us to understand this, brothers and sisters in Islam, because when we go for Umrah and when we go for Hajj, we practice certain practices that were born because of Hajar alayhi salam. And it's not about just the act, but it's because of the heart. It's about the heart that was behind the act and how Allah loved that heart. It was about the iman in the heart that was present when that act was done. And Allah loved that iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stipulated that these acts remain until the day of Qiyamah, subhanallah. So what an amazing woman she was. She was a game changer. Yes, a game changer, because we'll see just now about the well of Zamzam, and we'll see just now about Safa and Marwa that we run between. That's a game changer. We build Jannah through Safa and Marwa, and that running was born because of her action, right? And the heart that was filled with a level of iman, subhanallah, that was beloved to Allah, right? So we see no anxiety, we see no stress, subhanallah, and she's going about her days. But then, subhanallah, her provisions begin to deplete. And we know, as provisions deplete, the milk also within the mother depletes, and a mother's instincts take over. So now she acts. And this teaches us, brothers and sisters in Islam, it's upon us to act. The rest is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we've been hearing a lot, especially in these unprecedented days. I mean, when you look at the life of Ibrahim, you say, subhanAllah, unprecedented, right? But it's unprecedency that makes the man, that makes the woman, that makes the boy, that makes the girl, right? We are going through unprecedented times right now with our masajid closed, with Jumu'ah postponed indefinitely. We don't even know whether we'll have Eid this year, meaning in terms of Salatul Eid. We might be in isolation, we might be under lockdown. La ilaha illallah. A Ramadan without a community, again unprecedented. The year 2020 will be remembered for centuries to come. We are in it, brothers and sisters in Islam. Our iman is in our hearts, and we have the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, and in front of them Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, subhanallah, as legacies for us to take guidance from, to take inspiration from, and stamp our authority and assume our podium of excellence. This is what unprecedented circumstances do. And here we have Hajar alayhi salam. The motherly instinct takes over, but not once does she complain to Allah, not once does she question Allah, not once does she complain about Allah. She gets up and decides to go to the mountain to check, to take precautionary measures just in case. It's for me to act, it's Allah to sustain us. And she climbs Mount Safa, and she looks to her right and her left, and she sees nothing. So she comes down and says, let me go to the next mountain. And she starts making her way there. But towards that mountain, there's a little valley between the mountains. And as she goes in, her knowledge, her complete knowledge of the sanctity and safety of her child is lost, because she's a bit deeper. So she runs through this valley as any mother would. She knows there's been no one here for days. There's been no animals here for days. There's been nothing here for days. There's no one who's going to harm my son. But she's a mother, and she has mother's instincts. So what does she do? She runs through the valley. This was beloved to Allah. Allah makes us run between the green lights, between the lights that represent the valley that Hajar alayhi salam ran through. And she gets to Marwa. She sees nothing. She comes back to Safa. She sees nothing. She goes back to Marwa, until she does this 6 times, and now she's heading back to Marwa for the 7th time without losing hope in Allah. And as she gets there, imagine, she sees nothing. What are you going to see? You looked in the distance as far as your eye could see, there was nothing, and you're still running and checking. This is hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As she looks, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he did story time with the Sahaba, subhanallah, he says sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the Sahaba that she heard a sound. And when she heard the sound, she turned around and she looked back, and she saw by her son an angel. And the narration says, because the narrator forgot, he says the angel was tapping the ground either with his heel or with his wing. And suddenly water started gushing out. And subhanallah, the mother's instinct is to run for that water. I need that water. I don't know how long it's going to gush out for, and I can see it flowing away. So she runs to it, and she gathers soil around it and makes a wall around it, so such that the water gathers up and doesn't flow away. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, may Allah have mercy on Hajar. If she didn't do what she did, the Zamzam wouldn't be a well, but a flowing spring. Subhanallah. In any case, this is what happens. And then, because of water, birds would fly around the area. And on one occasion, a caravan of Arabs, they were traveling through the region, and they strangely saw birds flying or circling above a particular place. And they knew that there must be water. This is not known to be a water source, but there must be water. So they dispatch a few people to go and check it out. As they get closer, they see this shadow in the distance. They get closer, they see this woman with a baby. And they ask her, can we settle here? And can we use the water? And the books of history say that she was she liked company, and she was missing company. So she accepted for them to come and settle on one condition. And that condition was that no one takes ownership of the well. The well belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was agreed, right? And thus these people settled here. And as time went on, Ismail alayhi salam was nurtured by them and raised by them, and he married from them. But now Ibrahim alayhi salam, going back to Ibrahim alayhi salam, the books of history say that he never flouted his duties as a father. Regularly he would make the long trip to Mecca to meet his son and his wife and go back. So he never flouted his duties, even though it was a long journey. He was constantly up and down until, subhanallah, 1 year, or during 1 year, and the books of Islamic history sort of zoom into Dhul Hijjah, right? And during the days of Dhul Hijjah, he starts seeing this dream. And this dream is about him sacrificing his son. La ilaha illallah. He's sacrificing his son. It's a dream, but it's a recurring dream. And it is said Then on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, Ibrahim alayhi salam started contemplating this dream. Rawa yurawi tarwiyatan. And according to some scholars, Yawm al-Tarwiyah, which is the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, is called Yawm al-Tarwiyah because Ibrahim alayhi salam was contemplating. He was contemplating, subhanAllah, this dream. And on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, which is known as Yawm Arafah, and Arafah also means to know or knowledge that is attained, Ibrahim knew that this is not just a dream, but is a command from Allah for me to sacrifice my son. Now imagine Ibrahim alayhi salam is thinking, putting a knife to the neck of my son. And some of the sources say that Ismail alayhi salam was now around the age of 12 or 13 or 14. SubhanAllah, what a test. The age of 2, when it's exciting to have your son, Allah says, take him to the barren land. The age of 12, 13, 14, he can get married, he can have grandchildren for you, right? And now Allah says, put a knife to his neck, the ultimate test, subhanAllah, slaughter him for the sake of Allah, right? Who is in your heart more than Allah, Ya Ibrahim? Who are you going to put first before Allah, Ya Ibrahim? Allah tests Ibrahim. And Ibrahim is a human being, let's not forget. His emotions are as humans have. His heart is as a human has. So he knows how he felt when he was a child on a catapult and his father was plotting his death. The only difference is that was a death for wrong reasons. And his son will lose his life, but for the right reasons, because he's following Allah's command. So he brings himself together, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he speaks to his son. He obviously has been raising his son during the different trips he's been making up to Mecca through the years and teaching his son about Allah and that Allah is in control. But he does what a father does. He brings his son to the level before giving him the instruction. And this is parenting. This is fatherhood. Allah says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي. Allah says, when Ibrahim was at, you know, he reached the age, and you can also deduce from the ayah that he was at the point when he was now ready to receive the instruction. Ibrahim was confident that I have a Muslim in front of me. I have a mu'min in front of me. I'm not going to lose his iman by what I'm going to tell him. قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ. He said to his son, oh my dear son, إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ. He says, I see in my dream continuously that I'm slaughtering you, I'm sacrificing you for Allah. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Oh my dear son, please tell me what you think. Why is Ibrahim alayhi salam asking his son? Why? The matter is decided. But subhanAllah, this is a father. He's a human being. It's as if he's saying, make this matter easy for me by giving me words of support, my son. And his son does by saying, Ya Abati, subhanAllah. His son calls out to him in the same way that Ibrahim, when he was a small boy, used to call out to his father and say, Ya Abati, Ya Abati. La ta'bud al-shaytan, don't worship the shaytan. Why do you worship that which can't benefit you, which can't hear you, which can't see you? SubhanAllah. He's remembering how he used to call out to his father and say, Ya Abati, call his father to Allah. And his father threatened to stone him. You're a human being. His son now says to him, Ya Abati, if'al ma tu'mar. Do what Allah has commanded you to do. Satajiduni, you will find me. You will continuously find me. Insha'Allahu min as-sabirin. With Allah's will, you will continuously find me patient. I'm not going to tell you, my dear father, that this is easy, but I promise you, my father, you're going to find me a patient son. I'm not going to make it difficult for you. I'm going to help you facilitate acting upon the command of Allah. Can you imagine Shaytan watching this scene? How disgraced he must feel when he made a promise to Allah he's going to take this ummah to Jahannam? And now he's seeing, subhanAllah, that this conversation, this is a conversation, brothers and sisters in Islam, of men. This is the conversation where in whatever circumstance you're in, you don't see an obstacle. Rather, you see the opportunity to build a greater Jannah. You see an opportunity to transcend the levels of Jannah. You see an opportunity to manifest and celebrate the La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is the reality of Iman. This is the reality of Islam. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever left the believers upon one way. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Allah says that He never left the believers upon one way. He changed their circumstances and situations to test them, to make manifest the pure from the impure, brothers and sisters in Islam. This is the reality of the life of this world. It's either a chance to build Jannah through being thankful because things go your way, or a chance to build Jannah through being patient because things didn't go your way, and this gift is for no one but a believer. Alhamdulillah for Islam. Alhamdulillah for Iman. We may be locked in our homes. There may be isolation. There may be sick family members. We might be tested by losing a family member. But whatever happens, we will not complain about Allah or complain to Allah. Rather, we will announce that whatever Allah does, He does good. Whatever Allah does, He does good. We only have pixels. He has the whole picture. And He only does good. That picture is one of only goodness. We need to be patient and gather every day the pixels, and we will see the goodness. And that's what Ibrahim was doing. That's what Ismail was doing. That's what Hajar was doing, brothers and sisters in Islam. La ilaha illallah. Wallahi, you feel motivated. You feel proud to be a believer that you have as the father of the prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and his wonderful son, and his wonderful wife, and his wonderful family to act as guides for us during the most difficult year of not maybe this generation, but probably generations to come. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. He walks out with his son, right? On the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, and the 10th of Dhul Hijjah is known as Yawmun Nahr, the day of the slaughter. And he walks out with his son. And no doubt he's a human being. So he's teaching himself to remember to put Allah first. And he says, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. There's no one worthy of worship besides one Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. Walillahi alhamd, to Him belongs all praise. Allah is the praiseworthy one. Whether we praise Him, whether we don't praise Him, whether we remember to praise Him, whether we forget to praise Him, He is the owner of all praise. Allah is greater than me. Allah is greater than the love I have for my son. Allah is greater than my son. Allah is greater than my fancies. Allah is greater than my desires. Allah is greater than my wants. I am the servant of Allah. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. He repeats this to himself, subhanallah. And during the days of Hajj, we announce the takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. And subhanallah, he walks towards Mina. And Mina is away from Mecca. And Shaitan says, no, we have to stop this at any cost. And Shaitan sends his helpers. Shaitan sends those to swerve Ibrahim off the path of righteousness, off the path of taqwa and obedience to one Allah. But Ibrahim picks up 7 stones and pelts them, saying, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than you, and greater than what you say, and greater than what you call to, and greater than what you advise to. 7 stones he's pelting, subhanallah. Subhanallah. Today we pelt when we go for Hajj, right? We pelt. We remember that Allah is greater than our desires and greater than Shaitan's ability to affect us. That's what we should realize when we pelt during Hajj. Shaitan sends another one of his armies, and Ibrahim defeats the Shaitan. Again, for the 3rd time, Ibrahim defeats the Shaitan, and he keeps teaching himself that Allah is greater. There's no one worthy of worship besides one Allah. Allah is greater. He gets up to a mount in Mina. And some sources highlight it as a mount which today you find after masjid, the famous masjid, Masjid al-Khayf in Mina. If you look over the masjid or around that region on the mountainous areas around that masjid, you find a little kind of structure that they've built. It is said, Allah knows best, that this is the place where Ibrahim placed his son, right? On the mantle to slaughter him. He places his son on the mantle. He's sharpening the knife. Can you imagine what's going through a father's mind as he sharpens the knife? Allahu Akbar, he teaches himself, Allah is greater. Whatever I'm feeling now doesn't matter. Allah is greater. And Ibrahim then goes to his son. Subhanallah, is Allah going to change the command? Is Allah going to lift the command? Ibrahim raises the knife. Nothing. He turns his son. He has to turn his son. How can he look at his son's eyes? He's a father. Nothing. He takes the knife, he places it on the neck of the son. Nothing. There's always that hope that inshallah the command might change, the instruction might change, Allah will save me from this difficulty. But whatever happens, I'm not going to give up, I'm going to put Allah first. Nothing changes. And announcing that Allah is the greatest, and announcing that he does everything in the name of Allah, he moves the knife across the neck of his son. La ilaha illallah. But the knife doesn't cut. And Ibrahim, in his diligence to put Allah first, he tries again, and the knife doesn't cut. Just like the fire didn't burn, because the fire only burns with the will of Allah. The knife didn't cut, because the knife only cuts with the will of Allah. La ilaha illallah. Allah says, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. Subhanallah. Allah says, when they both submitted to the will of Allah, son, patient, father, patient, and they complete the act, Allah announced to Ibrahim alayhi salam, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. O Ibrahim, you have indeed done justice to the dream. You have fulfilled the dream. The knife had to move over the neck of your son for the dream to be fulfilled. It wasn't enough for you to put the knife on the neck, O Ibrahim. You had to move it. But Allah is in control, and you've passed the test, Ya Ibrahim. You've passed the test, and Allah, فَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah gives an alternative to Ismail in the form of a ram, and Ibrahim slaughters that ram. And like I said, brothers and sisters in Islam, we do the same till the day of Qiyamah. It's not about the blood, it's not about the meat, but it's the taqwa. It's the taqwa that reaches Allah. It was the taqwa in the heart of this man that Allah loved, that Allah made this an act that will last till the day of Qiyamah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And look, brothers and sisters in Islam, when you sacrifice for the sake of Allah, when you give up something for the sake of Allah, Allah gives you back what you sacrificed and more. For he was giving up Ismail for Allah's sake, so Allah gave him back Ismail, and after Ismail gave him Ishaq, وَمِن وَرَاءِ Ishaq يَعْقُوب. Subhanallah, Allah gave Ibrahim after Ismail another son, a knowledgeable son, Ishaq alayhi salam. And then Ishaq had children from them, Ya'qub. Ya'qub had children from them, Yusuf alayhi salam. And subhanallah, Ibrahim became the father of the prophets, because Allah decreed that every prophet to come will be from the lineage of Ibrahim alayhi salam, either through Ishaq, and that's all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam join up towards Ibrahim, or to Ibrahim via his son, Ishaq. Except Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for he joins back to Ibrahim alayhi salam via his other son Ismail alayhi salam. Subhanallah. Look at this. When you give up something for the sake of Allah, you might be worried about your job, your financial standing, your material well-being, what the future holds. Maybe some stocks went down, maybe some currencies crashed, etc., etc., etc. Whatever you do, brothers and sisters in Islam, hold steadfast. Hold firm. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ. Your risk is controlled in the skies. It's not controlled on earth. Whatever happens on earth, don't worry. It's Allah who controls your risk. You just make sure you with Allah. You pass the test. You pass the test, even if it gets to the stage where the knife has to move, right? You might be pushed to that limit. Pass the test, and only greatness exists on the other side. I promise you that, O servant of Allah and O child of Adam. I promise you this. Subhanallah. Brothers and sisters in Islam, after that, we know that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he comes back to Mecca, and Allah instructs him to build the Kaaba, and he meets his son and explains to his son what a great act of worship Allah has asked him to do, and he asks his son to be part of the process, and Ibrahim and Ismail complete an act of worship that no one else can compete with them in, because no one else can build the Kaaba in Mecca. Right? In fasting, we have competition. In salah, we have competition. In charity, we have competition. But building a Kaaba in Mecca, no competition. No one else can do it. Subhanallah, he builds the Kaaba with his son. Allah honors him and honors his son. And subhanallah, till the day of Qiyamah, people are going around the Kaaba. Even now, with the Kaaba being protected and blocked off, the tawaf happening at a distance, alhamdulillah, and salah happening in the haram, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes place, walillahi alhamd. Brothers and sisters in Islam, there's so many angles and so many sides and so many benefits to the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, but our time, story time, well, this segment at least has come to an end. It's not a full stop, it's just a comma. Inshallah, I will see you in future story times. I ask Allah to preserve me and you in his obedience, and to gather us again together. And yes, this is a comma, but as the family events program continues, I'm sure the brothers and sisters, the program managers, they have some interactive events with you all in terms of questions and quizzes related to this story time. Jazakumullahu khairan. I love you all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and grant you all better than you dream of in both worlds. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Until next time. Salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuhu.